We're reading from, we're reading the article, The Love of God and the Love of Man, starting with, why was the Torah not given to the patriarchs? You can find the article on Kabbalah Medium, and you can ask questions during the lesson. So, the love of God and the love of man, why was the Torah not given to the patriarchs? That answers the first three questions. But there still remains the question, how is it possible to keep it? For it is seemingly impossible. You should know that that is why the Torah was not given to the patriarchs, but to their children's children, who were a complete nation consisting of 600,000 men from 20 years of age and on. They received it after having been asked if each and every one of them were willing to take upon himself this work and this sublime goal. After each and every one said, "We shall hear and we shall do," it became possible. That is because undoubtedly, if 600,000 men have no other interest in life but to stand guard and see that no need is left unsatisfied in their friends, and they even do it lovingly, with all their soul and all their might, there is absolutely no doubt that there will not be a need in any person in the nation to care for his own sustenance. That is because he will have 600,000 loving and loyal people making sure not a single need is left unsatisfied. Thus, we answer the question, why was the Torah not given to our holy patriarchs? That is because in a small group of people, the Torah cannot be observed. It is impossible to begin the work of Lishma, as it is described above. Because of that, the Torah was not given to them.
The Creator has created the Kli, the will to receive, breaks it in the sin of the tree of knowledge, brings this Kli to an ability to be corrected. One who wishes to connect to others in order to bring this Kli to correction, asking for the force of correction after making an effort towards connection, discovering he cannot do it by himself. Then he raises man, a prayer, and receives mad, the force of connection. Then he starts revealing within the connection that was done by the light, the reforms, we call it Torah, starts discovering a spiritual life in it, a higher degree. The Creator, meaning that upper force of bestowal and love that dwells in the right connection between the pieces that were broken. And he discovers 620 times more connection and intensity of light. And now he can reveal the Creator because he's being revealed 620 times more than before, so that the Creator being can connect to it and identify it. That's why, what does it mean that the Torah wasn't given to the patriarchs? If there is no big deficiency yet for correction, and you cannot come closer to each other, connect to each other in the sufficient manner for drawing the light that reforms, then you don't get the Torah. That's what we call it. It doesn't mean that you're being sent a book by Amazon. Receiving the Torah means you get the light, the force of light, a special force that affects our efforts to connect. When you discover you can't, but you really want it, so the gap between what you have and what you desire gives birth to a big deficiency, a big sorrow inside. This gap is called man. Mein Nukvin. Meaning there's a big difference between Malchut and Bina. Mein Maim Nukvin. And the gap, when we discover how much we want to be connected, we want to be in the degree of Bina, but we discover that we're only in the degree of Malchut, and the gap between the two evokes the Creator, the upper force, the light that reforms, that bestows on us accordingly. What does it bestow on? The gap between the Malchut and Bina, between the will to receive that dwells in us and our yearning to be in the will to bestow. If we discover the gap between us, then accordingly we discover the upper light that affects it. Then we correct the gap, and in us we start having the light of connection already. Our desires connect together, and in them the Creator is revealed. That's how it works. Therefore, if we cannot yet discover our desire for connection, and our quality, which is in truth to receive, if we cannot sufficiently reveal the gap between the two in us, it means that we're still in the degree of patriarchs, meaning the states that are prior to the correction. The Torah was not given to them. So how do you keep yourself? You keep yourself with the upper force. In the meantime, it holds you until we start going by our own forces. Truly. So we have to understand that it's a short while, a small part on the general path for correction. And we have to go through it as fast as possible. Questions? Yes.
What I don't really understand is, it said that the Torah was not given to the forefathers.
Yes.
And the explanation is because they can't.
There's not enough force to evoke the light that reforms.
Now, we know that in the Arvut, he says that the fathers kept the Torah before it even was given. So,
yes. So, it's clear because they did receive the Torah, but it wasn't for the sake of correction. It's only to exist, and the will to receive is being revealed more and more and more until you reach a state that you go into Egypt. That was the question of Abraham, right? He's the father of the forefathers. And he asked, so what will come out of it? We don't have a big enough deficiency. We don't have the effort. We don't have the urge. How will we evoke like the reforms? Meaning, basically, he's asking, when will we receive the Torah? It's clear that we ourselves cannot connect. We can't correct ourselves. We can't reach the tikkunim, the final correction. That's clear. But how can we get to be in need of it? So he's told, wait. Such a negative force will be revealed between you that you'll need the positive force called the Torah. Yes. However, in between, in these degrees, the light that holds them is acting. So they won't run away, so they keep on going. That's the meaning of the degree of the patriarchs in us. We're not talking about history here. We can't understand history because we have a serious problem of how to relate to our history. Okay? More?
He tells about a very strange condition that the few cannot receive the Torah, but only 600,000 people that agreed and so on can receive it.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
600,000 is not about a number. 600,000 people, it's when the broken desire is being revealed in different manners, different ways. When you see, you can't do anything with it. Whereas if you reveal only a little bit in quality and quantity, well, it's not that bad. We keep on going. We keep on living. You see how humanity lives. You see, they live when more and more troubles appear, and they appear as the gap between what they have and what they could have. That's the main thing. Then they start understanding that they need a correction. Yes.
So he's talking about the depth of the relation of the desire. What does he want to tell us?
Yes, he's talking about the depth of the revelation of the desire and how much this desire is the opposite of correction. Then you can feel the possible correction, and it's something you can't have.
And this actually depends on our work.
Yes. Come on.
All of Israel are responsible for one another. In light of the above, we can understand the perplexing saying by his sages who said, all of Israel are responsible for one another. Furthermore, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, adds that the world is judged by the majority. It follows that we are also responsible for all the nations of the world. I wonder, this seems to be something that the mind cannot tolerate. How can one be responsible for the sins of another whom he does not know? It is said specifically that the father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now we can understand the meaning of the words in utter simplicity. It is clearly impossible to keep the Torah and mitzvot if the entire nation does not participate. It turns out that each and every person has become responsible for his friend. This means that those who are reckless make those who keep the Torah remain in their filth. They cannot be corrected and come to love bestowed upon one's fellow person without the participation of the reckless. Thus, if some among the nation are sinners, they make the rest of the nations suffer. It is written in the Midrash, Israel, one of them sins and all of them feel. Rabbi Shimon said about that, it's like people who were sitting in a boat. One of them took a drill and began to drill under his seat. His friends told him, what are you doing? He replied, what should you care? Am I drilling under me? They replied, the water is flooding the boat. As we've explained above, because the reckless are immersed in self-love, their acts create a wall of steel that detains those who keep the Torah from even beginning to keep the Torah and mitzvot as they should be kept. Now we will clarify the words of Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, who says, since the world is judged by the majority, and the individual is judged by the majority, if one performs one mitzvah, blessed be he, for he sentences himself and the entire world to a scale of merit. If he commits one sin, woe unto him, for he sentences himself and the entire world to a scale of demerit.
This means that this is the force of shattering. We're unaware that we're constantly only making an individual calculation, detached from the nation and the society. And by that we cause evil to ourselves to the same extent as we do with everyone else. Meaning the force of separation that's in us as a result of the shattering detaches us from the general responsibility, from the arvut. That's the whole problem. And you cannot bring it, this force of recognition of evil. When we make the individual calculation, each one for himself, not understanding that he depends on everyone, to the extent that he doesn't awaken everyone, he's causing harm to himself. And one has no individual calculation. It's only about a general calculation for the society. That requires very serious education, a group, a society that will affect everyone in a way that it's real progressive on the one hand. On the other hand, the trouble that each and everyone will receive because of the hopelessness of not being able to reach any correction, truth, the essence of life, the goal of life. And then, somehow, there, this nation will be able to bow their head down to the ones who teach them how to be in Arvut. Yes.
Can you give an example of a chain from where a person commits some kind of egoistic calculation to the point where he harms everyone?
No. No. Only once can we learn from it, and that's ancient Babylon. When Abraham, who was a respectable person in Babylon, because he was a priest there, and his father was even greater than him, then he succeeded because of the general, it was a real global crisis over there, because of the difficult times they had there, and they fought with each other, and they had a lot of struggle, and they reached such a recognition of evil that was terrible, uncorrectable. And he then used his prestige, and then he made it. He was able to pass on the message to them. Once he passed the message to them, and how many people connected to him? Rambam writes dozens of tens of thousands of people, but it's still only a small part of Babylon. Now, it is upon us to try to awaken the people of Israel, meaning that same part that Abraham once raised from the Klipot. And also, on the other hand, to try maybe to awaken them. And the main thing is to awaken Israel, also through the nations of the world. There are two parts here in our work. The awakening from within, because we are a part of the people of Israel, and from the outside, when the nations of the world start to understand more and more that their destiny depends on the people of Israel. Subconsciously, we see that they start feeling it. How hatred rises, anti-Semitism rises, the accusations against the people of Israel, we hear it more and more every day. That's one thing. The only thing we need here is the understanding. Why does this happen? The people of Israel must bring the method of correction. And an example. The method of correction is something we can tell everyone, suppose. But the example what to do, that's what affects people. If we can do that, then we will be observing that coming out to the people as it was in the days of Abraham. And we're trying as much as we can. Yes.
So Abraham's action toward the people was like Israel's action toward the world. I don't understand. Where's the arvut here? Where's the responsibility? Why are you comparing it with what happened in Babylon, the arvut and everything?
We're acting towards the people of Israel and the nations of the world the way Abraham acted in Babylon. By that, some of the people in Babylon connected to him and they became the people of Israel. We have to do the same within the people of Israel to awaken as much people as we can of them for correction and to awaken the nations of the world to understand was the reason of their hatred towards Israel. So that their attitude to Israel, it's not that it's going to change. Their hatred will stay there. But they'll understand what the reason is and what the correction is. And then, together, both the people of Israel, with us, within it, and the nations of the world, together, we're going to work on the egoistic desire that dwells in us and we'll be able to correct it. That's it. Next.
Daf 486, Tur Aleph, Shura, Anu Roim. Anu Roim, Sherabi Elazar.
We see that Rabbi Abba, son of Rabbi Shimon, takes the issue of the Arvut, mutual responsibility, even further, for he says, the world is judged by its majority. This is because he thinks it is not enough for one nation to receive the Torah and mitzvot. Either he came to this opinion by observing reality, for we see that the end has not yet come, or he received it from his teachers. The text also supports him, as it promises us that at the time of redemption, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, and also, all nations shall flow unto him, and many more verses. That is, the reason he conditioned the Arvut in the participation of the entire world. It shows that an individual cannot come to the desired goal by observing Torah and mitzvot, if not through the aid of all the people of the world. Thus, each and every mitzvah that one performs affects the whole world. It's like a person who weighs beans on a scale. Just like each and every bean, when puts on the scale, induces the final desired decision. So each mitzvah that the individual performs before the whole earth is full of the knowledge develops the world in that direction. It is said, but the sinner destroys much good. It means that one's sinning reduces the weight on the scales, as though that person took back the beans he had put on the scale, by that one turns the world backwards.
Questions? No. Akoko, where are you sitting? I didn't see you. You're in exile.
I want to ask about the Arvut. Is it something that you choose to be in and it works on you if you want it, or?
No, we have to choose Arvut because that's the shape of the ready kli, ready for the revelation of the godliness. According to the intensity of the Arvut, we reveal the Creator. According to the shape of the Arvut, that's the way you reveal Him. The Arvut determines the place of revelation. Yes.
So, if you choose to be an Arvut, then why does the Arvut work on everyone? Why does it work on everyone, whether they like it or not? Here he says that the way Israel keeps the Arvut, they influence the entire world.
Yeah, but the world can't choose anything. Israel also can't choose? No. Are you talking about the general people?
Not everyone has to be an Arvut. Not everyone knows what that is.
As much as they can. And from them it will spread on. And the world too, when it connects to us, it understands more and more what the broken kli means and the corrected kli. How much you need to connect and in what ways and how much you have to overcome and what desire you have to overcome and bring these connections and what types of connections we're going to have. Meaning, from the kli, we reveal the Creator, and this way we come closer and closer to locate Him, detect Him, and then, as much as then He's revealed out of what? Out of the connection between us.
But Arvut, it's what? It's like a natural law that... How does it work?
Arvut is the form, the shape of communication between parts that are not connected. How they can connect between themselves.
So those parts generate the Arvut. Where does the Arvut suddenly come from? How does that happen?
Because we want to tie our connections to one network. Because each one, even though he's a will to receive, regarding the other, he wants to be a will to bestow.
How do you choose to be a part of it?
By prayer, by actions.
And why does it influence everyone?
Because we all belong to one network, to one connection, to one pattern. We're connected. We only need to renew the connection, to revive it.
Yeah, but if I didn't choose to be in Arvut...
Anyhow, you're in it. You're there. You're suffering.
Right. Why does it influence me? I didn't choose to be in Arvut.
But do you think you can choose whatever you want? You're born and you're here. It's your choice. Nothing is your choice. Now you're being brought to a choice. Arvut is the only choice one can make. Besides that, we have no choice. What's your choice?
So, the Arvut works on everyone, whether they like it or not.
It's not Arvut, actually. You call it Arvut because you can call it Arvut because Arvut is something we ourselves want for it to happen.
What I don't understand is, if we want for it to happen, it should work on us. Why does it also affect others that don't want it?
Because we all belong to one network, to one kli. All souls exist in the kli. This kli is connected. It's only that you don't go in these lines between us. Bestowal doesn't go through. Or it does go through, but it's not good ones.
And Arvut?
Arvut means that I'm committed to be the useful part of this whole network, of this whole kli.
And how do you know that you contribute, that you're useful?
Out of my when I learn it, I try to keep to observe, love thy friend as yourself.
Yes. So those friends that you mentioned during the beginning of the lesson that are coming less to the lessons now here in Israel and around the world, maybe because of the new tens, maybe because of something else. The question is, who's responsible for them to come? They themselves or what?
I don't know. Say, Holland Group. When were we in the Netherlands, Shimon? It was a month ago? Only a month ago? Okay. So, let's say it was a month ago, Shai. Yes, a month ago. So, before that, there were also not so So they connected, and we went there, and when we left, they said, yes, from now on, we're gonna... Today we hear that they are distant from each other again. They're not connected. So, you tell me, what should we do? Where's the arvut? Where's your commitment? Where's your tendency toward connection, correction? It's not that I love someone. I don't love anyone. But the general correction, the general system compels me to look at everyone as belonging with me to the same plate. So what should I do?
One of the friends, I heard him say that he says that the friends that used to come to the lesson, they keep coming to the lesson regardless of the tens, what happens there. And the friends that used to come less, they come less. Meaning the changes, how much do they actually give results?
That's something I don't know. We have to measure, to examine it. I don't know. I hope that this causes people to wake up. People will awaken, not that less people will come. I hope more people will come, because they'll understand that it's a matter of each and every day you have to wake yourself up. Yes.
To awaken yourself, or for society to awaken you, or you to awaken society?
Only mutually. I'm not waiting for society until it starts awakening me. I have to do it to the society. That's what each one has to think. I don't understand. How much can we talk about it? Why don't you think more? Instead of asking, you should think. Then the question will be yours, the answer will be yours, and will be in you deeper. What is there to think about? We're all one system, so draw this one system, where everything's interconnected. Now start thinking, how can it exist? And it's a very simple thing. Well, how each one depends on the other. Look, Akoka is asking. He's an engineer. So in his machinery, is there something that can be completely detached from the other parts? No. Electronics, electricity, what are all these systems? There's dependency between the different parts. So there's dependency between us. Okay. Only thing left for us to learn is why was the Torah given to Israel? And...
Okay, friends, Raf. I think now we really start entering the hot phase of the attack on connection. And the group which is talking now, and it's not only a group, it's a whole system of connection and love. And we have the hope and the belief that this group with the force of connection, that they will break through in this Europe and will build the United, helping the United Europe. So, קבוצה מוסקבה.
אז קבוצת מוסקבה, בבקשה.
Дорогие товарищи,
dear friends, we wanted to say that five friends from Moscow will go to Rome. And regarding what Rav just said about the Holland group, I'd like to add that we have 18 friends that are studying virtually, 7 friends in England, many other groups where the friends are virtual. And we have to add some more effort in order for them to have the ability to meet physically, and that this Congress in Rome, it's an opportunity where we can all meet physically, all the groups, awaken each other. So we're, as the representatives of the Moscow group, we'll go to Rome. And what we'd like to add is that tell your group that you want to go. Let them work on you. Let the Creator work on you and believe that He'll make it so that you'll be able to go. And all the complications that we might have now, He'll turn them into those obstacles, not even obstacles, but as things that will help you come. Yeah, and Rav says that we have to connect so strongly together that we will be able to rise above the evil inclination. The Creator is revealed by the group. So we have the great privilege to represent the Chisaron of the Moscow group. So let's all unite, everyone representing their countries, their groups. Let's do it together and we'll make it. L'chaim.
We'd like to have a short report regarding the Zohar lesson. Starting of today, Zohar lesson will start at 5:30 until 7 o'clock again. Starting today, Zohar lesson will start at 5:30 Israel time and end at 7. Of course, everyone is invited to come tonight, 5:30. Carmiel.
Hello, dear friends. Daily task. During the day, we help each other keep the thought that all the evil that is revealed comes from the Creator in order for us to unite into a kli in which the Creator can dwell. Again, during the day, we help each other keep the thought that all the evil that is revealed comes from the Creator in order for us to come together. Build a kli in which the Creator can reveal Himself. The Zohar lesson today at 5:30. Everyone's invited. All of us as one. The International All as One Congress in Rome, Italy, from the 27th to the 29th of July. For further details, eurocongress.info. And let's sing. Let your heart speak. Let your heart listen. Shoulder to shoulder. You won't be alone. Love is around. The deepest ocean. Together we're drawn in. I won't let go. It feels so good to be a part of you. This is what their life should be. Learning to unite, living in the light. We'll win this fight and everything's gonna be. It feels so good.
this moment when we are together.